Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on, what is the date today? Today is, I always say that, April 17th.
Yeah.
Tax day.
You know, I got to tell you something. I listened to New Agenda today, the opening of that, and that was a dynamic introduction that you do there. I mean, that's not, oh, hi, I'm John C. Dvorak. And it's, you know, this whole rigmarole and sound effects, and then it's like, hey, John C. Dvorak here from San Fran, whatever you were saying.
Northern Silicon Valley.
That was impressive. It was a lot of life and gusto behind
it. It's overproduced, that show.
Is it? Do you have to get on your whole personality, you know, your radio persona thing going on?
No, it's just an overproduced. I mean, we produce the devil out of the show. And I mean, it's not like our show that we do here is more of a intellectual PBS almost type of show, except
it's
not
right,
quite
it's
as one, dead.
Yeah, it's one step above two tin cans and a string.
It sounds good. We have a good sounding show, and it's not quite as dead as a PBS show, which I actually could get to if we soundproofed our rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually put a soundproofing system into my little studio here. But yeah, no, it's a different type of show.
Is that the same soundproofing
egg
system
cartons
that you put in?
Egg cartons.
That's the one that keeps the train sounds out that we hear all the time.
I don't have a soundproofing. I don't have a soundproof room. I think that's what the point I'm making.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think if I did, I wouldn't have the train sounds, and I would have, also the slight ambience would be gone, so you'd have that kind of dead PBS sound.
You know, it'd be good. We could make a studio, a temporary rental studio, out of the hoarders' houses. You ever seen those on TV? Those would be the perfect soundproofing areas.
Yeah. You're
Wouldn't
right.
That'd be great.
Yeah, there's no way sound can bounce off of that crap. When's the last time you watched Hoarders?
It's been a while ago. They all look the same to me.
Yeah, I know. After you've seen about five or six of the shows, you just shake your head and give up.
Yeah, I don't really. It's bizarre to me how anybody, even who is, you know, has that mental issue, can even consider holding on to a Twinkie wrapper that means so much to them.
Yeah,
I don't really understand. It doesn't. Doesn't work for me.
So you just got back from New Orleans.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Bachelor party in New Orleans. There was the French Quarter Festival going on. There was like 20 stages set up all along the canal.
Oh, I didn't even know about this.
Oh, it was great. It was fantastic. I thought of you a few times, some of the food we ate. We had some great food, great fun, out late at nights. Really terrific.
Hmm.
I recommend it highly.
And what was the bachelor party like?
I can't say anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. The Secret Service ring a bell? Has that got something to do with it?
Well, I saw them there in the same facility we were in.
I bet they were.
It was just a good time. A bunch of us went. And it's interesting. I remember in my day, which wasn't too long ago, bachelor parties were like, you know, someone's neighborhood and you go to a bar or something like that. You hang out or party somewhere. Now you got to schlep to like another state.
That's a long way.
It's a long way, right? I mean, people flew in from all over the place to go to this. I mean,
really?
And then you got to stay in a hotel and you got to – it was great, though. I enjoyed it. Anyway, lots of news going on. I don't know if you saw the recent, of course, failed rocket ship launch. We have that lunatic – what's his name? Kim Jong-ish. Gosh, I don't know what his name is. But the son of the crazy man that obviously got the same mental illness.
I don't know. The guy – we don't know anything about him.
No,
he lived most of the time in Paris, so he can't be that bad of a guy.
Because he lived in Paris?
Well, I mean, at least has a sense of what's going on in the world. If you live in Paris, at least you're not a slouch. It's not a bad place to live.
All right, so you come back and you say, hey, I know what we're going to do now. We are going to build up a military. We're going to start a nuclear program. And we're going to do our best to piss off the rest of the world by breaking all the covenants that we have provided and shoot off a rocket.
This rocket was supposed to be a satellite.
Oh, aha. Do you think that was the case? Satellite for what? So that they go, oh, I know. So that they can have that free and open news media really pour down on the country.
I'm not taking such a dim view of this. I mean, just as though it's some kind of independent country that's not part of anything can't launch a rocket. I mean, that's what you're saying. It's like, well, you know, they're not playing ball with us. You can't launch a rocket. They can do whatever they want. As long as they don't interfere with anything we're doing. They're not attacking us. And you can imagine if they sent one rocket our way. I mean, that whole country would be decimated in 5 minutes. It's like, it's ludicrous to be fearful of these guys.
All I'm going to say is that already it seems that the U.S. has cut off the food supply, the food that they were providing for the citizens of North Korea who seemingly, you know, need this food. So I wonder why we punish the citizens so harshly over what the dictator did. How does that hurt him?
It's a bad policy. I don't know what the point of it is. Oh, well.
I mean, it's not like it's going to ruin the election.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's not going to do anything. It's just going to make everyone mad at us.
Mad and hungry. Not a bad idea.
The worst kind of situation to be mad and hungry.
Yep. Exactly. Anyway, so that's going on, and then it obviously blew off.
Did it have any effect on the market? No.
Let's see.
Zip.
It did for a moment. As a matter of fact, there was something that happened. That night, when everybody was scrambling around trying to figure out what was going on, South Korea said, "We will do our best to keep an eye on the market and maintain stability." So, you know, that's the big thing. We don't hear anything about the South Koreans saying, you know what, we'll be careful and see if there's any kind of a missile that's going to come this direction, the nuclear, nothing. It's all about the money in the markets. So you know where everybody's head's at.
Yep.
Yep.
In a good place, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Right in the pocket. Anyway, economics this week, we've been seeing some economics. We saw some bad jobs numbers. We saw some slouching manufacturing numbers. We've seen some consumer confidence dipping down, still high, but dipping down. We've seen inventories rising, which isn't necessarily a good thing, although it's good for GDP. It's not good in general. We're going to see some additional retail sales numbers come out, even though we saw the last retail sales was not so spiffy. And right now we're seeing economics, as we've talked about before, rolling over. So that's continuing on. But the main topic, the real thing that's going on right now, is the earnings season. Woohoo! The earnings season.
Here we go again.
Here we go. It seems to happen every quarter somehow.
It seems to happen every 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. So Alcoa came out and they beat just like they usually do, or at least they provided a better assessment. They go up for a while, then we'll see. It's about time, maybe another day or so, before they start their long sloth down to the next quarter.
The long slide down.
Yeah, back to the next quarter. We'll see what happens this time, but aluminum manufacturing is off a bit. There's a talk about an ETF going to be created to artificially inflate aluminum prices, I guess, by investing directly in the commodity. But a lot of smelters have been shut down. Aluminum production is not what it used to be, or not what it was. And so they came out. We had Citigroup come out, beat earnings. We had Goldman come out and beat earnings. We had whoever it is. Name the source. They beat earnings. But the problem is that the earnings that they beat were severely adjusted lower over the last 2 to 3 months.
Now we have that situation again. You always complain about this.
Well, it's what it is, and it's what, you know, it's called massaging the numbers. The analysts and the companies together do it. And I'll give you an example of really what I'm talking about in a little while, a little later in the show, about SanDisk. But, you know, you see these numbers come in, and they're constantly, I mean, the new number is beat by 2 cents. Beating by a penny is not good because it's kind of too close, right? But 2 cents is just far enough away. And what we saw was over the last, I would say, since January, that estimates have come down about, I would say, 20% from where they were. They're supposed to be a 20%, or maybe even more than that. They're supposed to be about a 20% year-over-year, you know, quarter-over-quarter over annual basis gain in earnings. We're down to like a 5%. That's the hope. So that's why markets kind of sold off a little bit in there, and, you know, they got a little crank. But now the top line headline is all anybody's going to look for. And as long as they beat, everybody's going to be happy, happy. So you saw some of these companies beat, and they did well. And Citigroup, of course, talking it up. And a couple of the banks came out with some earnings, and it was okay. You know, Goldman came out tonight or this morning. They beat, but their metrics weren't so good. They fell back in bond sales and fixed income and just, you know, everything. So the stock was down, actually. After hours, Intel came out tonight, and they beat, but really just met on revenues, and their projections were the same, and their margins were a little worse than expected. The stock was down about 3% after hours. IBM was down after hours. So kind of a mixed bag on the technology right now. But markets are very resilient these days, right? They go down for 3 days, they go up for 3 days. They go down for 3 days, they go up for 3 days.
Well, how long can that go on?
It was, looks like two more days. Right? I mean, so that's what's happening with all that. Oh, what else? What else we got? What else we got?
Circuit City Part 2? Yeah. Jeez.
It seems like that old again. Remember that?
You know, Best Buy.
Yeah.
Which is Circuit City, kind of. Although, yes, no, Circuit City with washing machines.
What do you think Best Buy is?
No, that's what I'm saying. Circuit City never had washing machines.
Best Buy
is Circuit City with washing machines.
Oh yeah, I got you.
It's a
joke. I mean, it's I'm laughing inside. All I need is a whistle or some sort, or a sliding whistle to make me real.
Get one of these bells.
Bell could do it. Bell could do it.
These bells are great, by the way. You can get them at most stationery stores.
What's a stationery store?
They still have them.
Really?
We have one up the street. It's a stationery store, and they, actually, what's interesting, you compare it to like a Office Depot or the other one, Staples.
Yeah.
And they have almost the exact same selection with a little more thought.
Oh well, that's,
I mean, they're smaller, hard. Like one tenth the size of a Staples, if that. But it's dense, so you don't have to wander around forever. They don't have furniture. And it's actually, you can get stuff like the bell.
Oh, I see that. My favorite, I like the ruler aisle. They have a good ruler aisle?
They got rulers, but they don't have like millions of them. They got just a good one.
Yeah, I was trying to find if they're all even. It always makes me a little nervous. They're all off a little bit, you know?
Which brings me to a story since you brought this up.
Oh, and this is totally unplanned, by the way.
When I was in college, I used to work in factories that don't even exist anymore. And one time I was working at International Harvester on the truck assembly line, and I eventually became an inspector, which is really the way to go in these factories. And I was taught right off the bat that, you know, they had Stanley and Craftsman. There's all these different companies that make tapes, you know, tape measures. And we always use the 150 footers. And it was drummed into us that we all had to use the exact same brand. And they took a Stanley, a Craftsman, and the two or three others. There's a bunch of these brands. And they put them down. They kind of put them on the floor. And then they stretched them out to 150 feet.
Yeah.
These things aren't even close.
Really? Well, are the same brands close, though?
The same brands are identical.
Okay, good. That's good.
That's what you want. That's why everyone has to have the same brand. But I'm telling you, these things are off. At 150 foot, they're off a foot.
So did you use the shorter one or the longer one? It would save you money.
It was just, as far as I knew, I think it was in between. But it was they used the Stanley, period. You couldn't use anything else.
Interesting. Wow.
But it was a foot. I'm telling you. It was like what?
Well, it's like my scale. I'm sure my scale is off by 3 pounds. You know? Right?
You got to get the bell.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, Circuit City. No, let's forget the Circuit City. I mean, Best Buy is closing a whole heap load of stores, and in some kind of shameful God knows what, the CEO resigns. What did he do, that guy?
I have no idea.
I mean, seriously, what did he...
What is the problem with those stores? Have you been to a Circuit City recently?
Well, not Circuit City, but Best Buy.
I'm sorry, now you got me confused. Yeah, Best Buy?
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because the Circuit City around me is now...
There's a Circuit City there?
No, it was, and now it's an H.H. Gregg.
Okay.
Which I never understood the wisdom of this. Help me with this. You have a restaurant, let's say. It's on the corner, whatever. You know, it goes out of business. Another restaurant opens, goes out of business. Another restaurant goes out of business. Who's the schmuck that says, I'm opening up a restaurant
We
there?
Call that – my wife is always calling this. We drive around San Francisco, and she'll look at some place that's a new restaurant in some spot that's at another restaurant. She says, another guy opening in the jinxed location.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's jinxed.
It's obviously something – I mean, listen, we all know. If you have good food, they'll find you in a hole that can't be found by anybody else, right? If there's good food.
It has to be really good food.
Right. So if you have reasonable food at a decent location, but obviously that location is just not a proper place for a restaurant.
Sometimes there's no parking. It's uncomfortable to go there. There's a lot of reasons. They're jinxed.
Yeah. Anyway, so now H.H. Gregg opens up in the Circuit City. Now, H.H. Gregg is... I don't know what it is. It's a place that's very wide and very open. Lots of salespeople walking around.
What do they do? I've never heard of this chain.
H.H. Gregg is Best Buy, like that kind of thing.
Oh, it's a Best Buy clone?
Yeah, it's like that. I mean, it's not a clone, but it's like that. But the people work on commission.
Oh.
Which I don't like either.
Appliance, you know, Electronics, hhgreg.com.
Huh? Ooh. They just opened up down here. Interesting looking place, but it's, I mean, tell me it's any different than a Best Buy.
It looks like a Best Buy to me.
Yep. The only place that I don't like even more than any of these places, that I don't care if it was the last place on the world I'm not going, is BrandSmart.
BrandSmart?
BrandSmart. You never heard of this? This place that I swear they sell seconds. I hope I'm not going to get sued for this. But they sell something that's maybe gray market. I don't know what it is. But the thing that really bothers me is that no matter what you buy, you have to go pick up outside in the back at the truck loading dock area. And they pretty much just throw you your goods. And, you know, you're all standing there wondering, you know, you're like 25, 30 people standing there waiting.
They got really bad reviews on Yelp.
Oh, I hate them. Hate them. But the prices are good, and some people love it, but it's always, you know, some
BrandSmart USA.
Yeah, that's it.
Your favorite always brands at low, low prices.
Low, low prices. The prices are low, but it's like why I won't shop at Sims for suits.
Sims?
You don't know that place either. None of these places.
You're in Florida. I mean, these places in Florida are all fly by night.
No, Sims is a big place, but I won't shop there because of one reason. They don't give you the hangers.
Just ask for the hanger.
No, they will not give you the hangers.
Even if you ask?
I've said I have $600 worth of goods here. I am not walking out of the store with that suit, not on a hanger. I'm sorry, sir, we don't give you the hangers. I said,
what?
I'm not buying anything. I'm not kidding.
And did you walk from the sale?
I walked.
Wow.
I walked right. I was there. I was at the checkout with the card out, ready to go, and they wouldn't give me the hanger.
What's the name of this place?
Sims.
S-Y-M-S. S-Y-M-S.
Where shopping is a pleasure. I think that's what it says.
Well, apparently not taking...
As long as you don't get hangers.
Hangers is not a pleasure. Yeah, Sims, an educated consumer, is our best customer.
Yeah. Educated so you know how to iron your
suits. Let me read this
home.
To you. Hold on a second. We'd like to thank you, all of our customers, for your continued support. Although our stores are currently closed.
Ah, see? There you go.
We expect the famous Sims and Filene's basement brands to continue on. If you'd like to be informed of any future relaunch, please provide us with your contact. Well, it's obviously the coat hanger problem here.
See? They could have solved this with one sale. This is just, that's just, honestly, that's just stupidity.
They want to get rid of those hangers.
It's stupid. It's like buying a brand new car with no gas in it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Whatever. Anyway, 7 stores in California are closing for Best Buy, 6 in Illinois, total 50 closings overall by the struggling electronics retailer. So I guess we're all saying that even though flat panel screens are just flying off the shelves or had been, and you know, people are buying all sorts of electronic goods, they're just not buying it there or anywhere else that has a brick and mortar kind of location, right?
They're buying them at Costco like they're going out of style.
I don't know. I mean, I guess what it is, maybe the warehouse shops, Sam's, the Costco's are just taking, and the BJ's are just taking over.
It could be. Costco has got so many flat panels for sale and at really outstanding prices that it could be damaging the business.
All right. Well, Warren Buffett, did you hear the news about this? Mm. Warren Buffett?
Yeah.
Warren Buffett has stage 1 prostate cancer. And this is a sad story. The 81-year-old billionaire investor and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway says the good news is that doctors have indicated the condition is remotely life-threatening.
Isn't remotely life-threatening.
Remotely
debilitating. So what's the point of the story?
I don't know. I just thought I'd mention it.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, what's the point of them announcing it if the guy's, you know, just got a... 81.
What does that mean? Isn't remotely life-threatening? What does that mean?
It means it's nothing. It means there's nothing going to happen.
Why do you say isn't life-threatening? Now, what's the word remotely in there for?
That means under any circumstances in a million years.
I guess.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so here's an odd story I have for you. It's about Yahoo. I know you follow them, and you follow their trials and tribulations, many more tribulations of late, but... I think they've laid off 2,000 people recently, right?
Yeah, something like
last week.
Some number.
Yet their first quarter earnings come in 28% better than the prior quarter. Hmm. Advertising revenues are creeping up, driven by improvement in its search business. And they're laying off people. The big news is they have a plan. That's the news, by the way. That they have a plan to... Part of it is streamlining and focus and all this stuff. I'm thinking to myself, what were you doing beforehand? Were you...
I always wonder about this myself.
Were you just kind of like throwing crap on a wall, which I guess Yahoo has been, right? you know, throwing crap at a wall and hoping something works out, and if it didn't, just let it slide down and make a miserable mess? I mean, what is, why, you know, are we going to buy into this crap?
No. Plans to streamline focus.
I mean, is it, what do? They just get a speechwriter and come up with a thesaurus of words that sound like...
Well, I think they got to do something to rationalize firing a bunch of people that, who knows? I'm always fearful with these companies that they fire the wrong guy. You know, there's always some... I've seen this with company after company. You find some go-to guy at the company. He's really does a great job, but he's not like a self-promoter. He's just very important to the company.
Yep.
And then they bring in HR people, and they start studying who does what. And this guy, since he's not a self-promoter, it looks like he doesn't do anything.
Right.
And nobody, everybody knows he does something, but the HR person doesn't have a clue because they're clueless. And they fire the guy. And then the company goes in the toilet. I mean, I've seen this happen over and over again, where they fire some really key person because they're idiots.
Wasn't there a movie like that? These guys came into that. Wasn't it Up in the Air with Richard Gere? Richard Gere, right?
No, Up in the Air was with George Clooney.
George Clooney. Yeah, I sat behind him on the plane on the way to Vegas when he was actually taping that.
What?
He's a good-looking man. He's a very good-looking man. He was on the way to Vegas to tape that movie.
Yeah?
I sat behind him.
Did you say hello?
I said hello to him.
You did? Did you give him your card?
Now, let me tell you what did happen. He was kind of, after a while, sleeping. It was a long, flight. But I started talking to this woman next to me. She was very nice. We're talking, and she has a baby, and we're talking, and I'm thinking the whole time, gosh, she looks so familiar. I don't know, whatever. I couldn't, after that, I didn't think anything of it. And then about a year later, I'm watching the Academy Awards or the Emmy Awards or some People's Choice Awards or something, and Up in the Air, the movie comes up, and they pan the table for, the people sitting there. And I'm like, wait, that's the woman that I sat next to. And it was Vera Famiglia. Famiglia, you know her?
No, but yeah. I saw the movie. It's a really fun movie.
She was the woman. She was the, the woman played opposite.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was my George Clooney. All I had to do is tell my wife that George Clooney was in front of me, and I had to start, sneaking pictures of him while he was sleeping. it was ugly.
Was he in coach, or were you in first class?
First class, yeah. Yeah, he was wearing a white undershirt with jeans. He's a very good-looking man, seriously.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he knows it.
Oh, he knows it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about that. No question about that. All the first-class flight attendants were all in a tizzy.
I'll bet they were.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. They had no idea. Anyway, today was some announcement. There was some weird thing about, hey, we're going to stop the oil speculation. Because those nasty oil speculators are driving up gasoline prices, and this is bad, bad, bad. So President Obama came on and made some kind of an announcement, which I really didn't pay attention to, at I think 11 o'clock. And all I know is I have to look at this because I saw this come across, and I had to look at it like 25 times, and I couldn't believe it. That they're going to spend $51 billion. I still don't believe this is true, by the way. I have to go research this further, and if somebody out there can – do me a favor, because I just cannot. I really can't believe this.
I know what you're talking about, and it's not. It can't possibly be true because it's idiotic.
$51 billion to combat oil speculation.
How does that work? How do you do? Would you sell short with your $51 billion? I mean, how do you?
I don't know. Honestly, I really don't know. That number's got to be wrong. It's got to be $51 million, maybe, or maybe $51.
Maybe nothing. $51.
I don't know, but how do you do that? $51 billion, first of all, is a lot of money. Obviously. Second of all, what are you going to possibly do? You're going to go out and hire people to kill these people? What are you going to do? And instead of the $51 billion, why don't you just give us like a tax credit? This is where you and I started a few years back, according to Adam Curry, 6 years back. but why don't you just put a credit on the price of gasoline instead of going off this whole ridiculous process? I don't know.
I don't think he knows what he's doing.
I don't know. But oil moved higher on the news by 1.5%. I thought that was kind of interesting. Hey, like that.
And natural gas is going even. Pretty soon they're going to be paying you to use natural gas.
Natural gas.
How low can it go?
I've heard a dollar recently, but it cut under $2.
Cool.
It cut under $2. What then? Then all these places go out of business, and then the price goes up. And then you screw everybody because the price is going to go up so high because there's nobody producing the damn stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and then you're going to be the, oh, we're going to spend $100 billion to combat the high price of natural gas.
Who knows?
Crazy. I think we need to have a little discussion because you're my tech guy and you know these fellas. What is the story with Google? Have these guys lost their minds?
Well, what now?
Well, they did the stock split last week, right?
Oh, this stock split is annoying.
And this, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about, I think you wrote about this for MarketWatch or somewhere. You always write about this stuff. I think I read your article, I think. Can you tell them to grow up or something like that?
Well, oh, no, they were saying, well, we're going to act like a startup. And I'm thinking,
oh, yeah.
I said, yeah, well, then sell your jets, and Larry Page can sell that huge yacht he bought. Just, I think he just bought it in January, some monstrous 200-footer. You know, with a helipad and everything, but it's not like a Paul Allen yacht, but it's monstrous. And these guys are full of crap. I don't know what the deal is. I don't think Larry's. I don't think a lot of people. I don't think he's impressive. Let's put it that way. Yet.
Well, tell everybody what happened with this stock split.
Well, they decided to do a stock split, and they're going to change the basic characteristics of the split stock so it's non-voting.
The half of it.
Yeah.
The new split.
You can't, I don't think you can do it any other way. They're trying to get two classes of stock to the point where they don't have to trade their stock and they maintain a certain percentage of the company. So when they dole out stock to employees, which is one of the things you have to do in Silicon Valley, the employees are really only going to get this secondary class of stock, which is non-voting. Doesn't, you know, nothing can threaten the position of the owners insofar as, you know, their percentage of the company is concerned, so they can always dominate the conversation in the boardroom. And it's just like, this is not stock to me. This to me is like green stamps or something. It doesn't make any sense that I would want to buy, unless they're paying off big dividends, but they're never going to do that for long for the secondary class of stock. It just seems like a scam.
Well, here I am.
See, I own some Google, you know.
Right, but the problem is that I own Google because I am a part owner of the company to whatever degree I own the stock.
Yeah.
So now I'm a part owner of the company, but yet at the same time not enjoying the ownership privileges except for just the valuation changes in the company. And if I don't like what they're doing, I don't get to vote. In other words, if
I'm surprised you can even show up at the shareholders meeting. They might not even allow that. The all the retirement funds around the country, the state ones, that like California's, they're all looking very skeptical about this. I think they're going to dump it.
I dumped it.
You did?
Yep. Hmm. As soon as that information came out, and as soon as I saw that, there was one major issue. First of all, one, if a stock doesn't do what it's supposed to do from a pricing pattern, if you will, well, that's grounds to sell it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the second thing is, if there's a material change in the underlying fundamentals. So, you know, company, for example, is not earning as much money. It has some major impediments in terms of maybe government tax or it could be 100 different things, right? They're not as efficient with their margins, whatever. The third thing is a significant change in ownership management. This is a significant change in ownership management. Because what happens here is that no longer, like you said, the retirement plans, pension funds, mutual funds, hedge funds, the major institutions are not able to vote their say, and they are not going to be happy about that.
No, well, I mean, you might as well buy muni bonds or something. I mean, it's like a bond. If you buy a bond in the city of New York, you know, a muni bond from some of the water works or whatever, you don't have a say. You can't go to the meeting of the city council and throw a vote in. It's like a bond. It's like, you know, you're just giving them money. Mm-hmm. And you expect to get a return. I'm not seeing the return on the Google, for one thing. Yeah, but it's essentially a bond-like like investment vehicle without
so like a it's like a preferred stock. Preferred stock. You don't have voting privileges, and you get a yield, let's say. Or
supposedly you should get a better deal on the yields.
Right. But the thing is,
I don't see that.
I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but you may say, well, Google's Google and all that. But, man, this is, as someone wrote me, whatever happened to the do no evil concept? Isn't that their tagline when they started? In terms of
not when they started. That tagline only appeared after a 60 Minutes interview with Sergey Brin, where he just threw it out there and it became like a catchphrase. Long after they started. So, I mean, I don't know.
But when they started, even their IPO was different than anyone we've seen in the tech industry. They did a Dutch auction style.
Right.
It was just a whole different thing going on, and it was all based on, hey, let's do the right thing for the shareholders, right?
Yeah.
And this is a direct slap in the face to that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's bad.
Yeah. So we sold our shares. Right after the earnings came out, the next morning we watched the stock move around, and we said, "You know what? This is not healthy the way it's moving."
No, when you announce a split, typically the stock starts to march. You know, starts going up and up and up. And
I think it was down 7%.
Yeah, it went down.
Yep.
Well, that's not good.
People are not happy. Not happy at all. Anyway, we had another big sell-off. Apple sold off yesterday. For the first time in I don't even know how long. Big sell-off, the biggest since December in 2010. Sold off like 4.5% or so in the day. And it was a day that a lot of the big names got hit pretty hard. Meanwhile, one day later, Apple is back up to 608. Went down to about 580. So that was, I tell you, that correction was rough. I think that everybody has confidence that Apple is just going, you know, the quarterly earnings coming out are just going to just blow the doors off things again. But the big issue was this iPad mini.
Yeah.
That was announced, or at least not announced. I shouldn't say announced. It was rumored on a variety of different Chinese websites, which must be true because they make them in China, I guess they think. Now, what's the big problem with that? Do you think it's going to cannibalize the iPad itself?
No. I don't think people are going to say, oh, let's get this instead. Most people believe it's like a game machine. It's like some kind of an in-between product for people who really don't want a big, giant iPad. I don't know.
Which would be, it would be direct competition to the Kindle, I assume, in terms of size.
The Kindle is a different animal. I don't see them competing. The Kindle's got, you know, is a different kind of screen. It's a different kind of technology. It's strictly a book reader, even though you can go get your email.
Now, there's some new things on it. It's Android-based.
Well, there's always been, I think.
The Fire.
The Fire, that thing's no good.
You don't like that?
Nobody's getting that. You want the real Kindle, the one that.
I saw two of them.
You have two of them?
I saw two of them. Actually, I bought my
daughter
one.
You saw two of them.
That's all I've ever seen is two of them anywhere. One my daughter has, and I saw one this weekend, actually.
Oh, well, you've seen all the sales. I have no idea. I don't think so. I don't know what they're up to, but I don't think they're too concerned about the Kindle.
I would say that it would be a little overkill coming in an in-between size. I'm just saying. I mean, the iPhone you have and you have the other one. How many of the same OS do you need on different sizes?
Mm-hmm.
I guess
there might be a demand. Maybe they did some research and found there's a huge demand for this size. I think as a little Game Boy machine, a little Game Boy killer, it'd be nice.
Maybe it is the Aborigines in Australia that are looking for a smaller device for their smaller body structure.
Mm.
No?
Okay. On to the
Moving
next
along.
Topic. OPH insider buying.
I think is it OPH or OPK? I want you to look at this. See that link I sent? OPK. Look at this for a second. This is bizarre. This is a company
called OPCO Health.
Yeah, OPCO Health. Whatever they do, it's some ophthalmology thingamajiggy. They don't trade a lot. They're in the $4 range. And I want you to scroll down. Go all the way. Scroll. Go scroll. Tell me when you get to the point where there's this insider trading.
Ooh. Bye.
But I want you to look at something. This is a buy by the CEO and chairman.
Yeah.
Okay? This guy, Phil Frost.
He's like buying every day. He's buying
every single day.
He's buying $500,000 worth every day. So now I take that back. On April 4th, he bought $47,000 worth for some reason.
But I mean, just glance through this in March. Let's just start with March. Seriously, March. Just reading up, okay? 119, 118, 96, 2 million, 850,000, 78, 24, 72. I mean, it's at least is that an unbelievable amount of shares he's buying?
Accumulation is what we call it.
Accumulation every day? Every day?
And curiously, the vice chairman out of the blue and Steven Rubin, and the executive vice president of administration, who obviously has no money, picked up a couple thousand shares at 468.
Yeah, but look at these prices he bought about, mostly in the fives. It's in the fours. I mean, this is a big dump he's taking here. I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, but I want to know the kind of person that can blow $400,000 or $500,000 or $200,000 a day. I mean, you got to have some smack to do that, right?
I would hope.
$8 million in October on one day, $4 million the next day.
Chart doesn't look that great.
It's horrible. I mean, he's the only one buying shares. Look at the volume.
Buying too many. He's buying all the shares.
He's buying all the shares.
So what? What's your point of putting this on here? Do you think there's something going on?
I have no idea, but it looks kind of.
I'm putting it
weird.
On the list.
Which way?
Up.
Are you gonna go? All right. Yeah, it did have a nice day today after it bottomed out there at 4.25 with the 4.68.
It's the trade. It's 3.50. Now it's at 4.68 with a high of 5.50. And
this is actually a guy that's
medical
down here
appliances.
In Florida.
Oh, is it Florida guy? Maybe somebody's got a right? gun to his head. Buy more.
Yeah, click the. Let's see what they do. They do something with the ophthalmology.
Opco Health. Started phase 3 clinical trials of rolapentant. What is this? This is, I think, is the key here. Who's this guy? Here's the key. This clinical trial stage 3. They must know something's up. There's something going on.
Agreement for their Alzheimer's diagnostic technology. They're an eye company. What kind of Alzheimer's? I mean, every day they have like another announcement. I mean, I don't know. This is, it just stinks to high hell, but I could be wrong.
Well,
Parkinson's disease, blocks brain, Opco Health.
Phase 3 clinical trials of rolapentant for the prevention of CINV. What is CINV?
I mean, how many people do they have working for them? Look at that big building. I know that building exactly is actually in Hollywood, Florida.
Huh. Well, it could be
about Opco.
CINV protection.
It's a publicly traded.
CINV. Prevention and treatment of chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. So they get something. This pot.
Yeah, you know what that's.
Does
yeah, exactly
that.
What I was going to
say. Pot.
You got that and you have that company already.
Yeah, we got them all over Oakland.
You got medical marijuana. You have on the list for yourself.
Chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting is CINV, and they got a drug to fight it.
Anyway, okay, onward.
They just agreed to acquired a Chilean pharmaceutical. Opco's Alzheimer's diagnostic technology. I don't know. None of these things seem like they're going to set the world on fire.
I got to see how many employees they have. It seems like there was three now, actually, that we noticed. Anyway, listen, Gmail had 350 million users seem to have taken to Twitter today to complain that their Gmail accounts were down. I have one thing to say. It's free. What are you complaining about? It's a free service. And it's down like one day for an hour. What is that? Right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I have my own email server I run through. A friend of mine who keeps CTYME.com, a hosting company. And he hasn't had a problem recently. But once a couple of years ago, he'd go down once a month for some reason or other. And, you just put up with it. So what?
Yeah.
Is it that critical? You got to get your email every 5 seconds?
Right. I mean, if you're maybe a company that's using Gmail's products that you're paying for, all right, I'm there. I think you pay for their product. Do you pay
for their products? If you're a big company and you have a license, you get special treatment.
Yeah. Anyway. So in an interview with Bloomberg, Zynga, his CEO, Mark Pincus, said that he's looking for both great teams and companies that have breakout hits in gaming for, obviously, the mobile devices, and he's willing to pay for them. Now that they went public, they got all this money. Their stock looks like crap. If you look at the stock recently, I think it was down from 15 down to a 10, Zynga. And, the big hoop-de-doo about Zynga, I think it was a pretty cool idea. But, you know, when you came to looking at how they run their company and some of the strange things they did with their stock and before the IPO, and, you know, people get a little bad taste in the mouth about that. So the question is, who are they going to buy? So we're back to glue again.
Yeah.
Whatever. We'll see. It's been doing all right. We'll see if we can ever break through the $5 and $6 range again. We'll see. Let's see. The Buffett rule was not passed by the Senate. the extra tax paid by the wealthy folks out there that was going to be mandated to clean up the mess of what has happened over the last few years by increasing taxes, clean up the deficit, the debt, blah, 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 blah.
What was the Buffett rule?
It was basically that on people over a certain amount of income, they would raise their taxes to like 30-something percent. They have an extra surcharge to the more the wealthier folk out there. I think it was over $1 million. It was something of that nature. And it was supposed to, you know, the wealthiest Americans, the top 1% was supposed to pay a higher tax, kind of a surcharge. And it was going
to... The hyper-wealthy, you know, don't pay any taxes because there's not the way they handle their cash flow.
Yeah, well, this is going to clean some of that up.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe Buffett would pay more taxes. You know, he can always voluntarily send in more taxes.
I think that would be reasonable to do.
Yeah, he won't do it.
No. And did you see when they looked at how much tax President Obama paid last year? On like $780,000 worth of income, he paid like 20%.
How did he make so much money?
I think the book sales.
Yeah, sure.
Well, payoffs? If it's payoffs, he wouldn't claim it, right? So that can't be that.
No, it has to be something else to claim.
I don't know. I don't know. And Biden made like $200,000 last year or something like that. $250,000.
Biden can't make money.
He's not. He's not. He's not he's not like a Trump kind of magnet of money.
No, no. In fact, when he ran for vice president, I think they had the releases. The guy's got no net worth.
You want to know something?
You have You have more net worth than he did. I think I do.
It was embarrassing. I don't mean to be mean or whatever, but it was like, wow,
loser. That's what I was thinking.
Vice president and a net worth of like $250,000 or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And you say, all right.
And
you know,
I think half of that's owned by his mom. I mean, the whole thing is a joke.
The question I have, though, is a person without – now, it could be a lot of reasons that he lost money or something happened, and whether it's marital issues or 100 different things. But a gentleman who does not have a reasonable amount of assets – doesn't have to be dramatic. You know, what right do they have to be making tax, financial, and all sorts of other potential – laws and rulings, or at least some kind of suggestions on big financial matters?
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
I don't get it. I mean, seriously, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. The guys that have all the money have no idea what's going on with the finances either. They're so convoluted.
Yeah, yeah, but they have this. They have the touch.
Yeah. Yep. Julian Assange. The founder of WikiLeaks. He has a new talk show on Tuesdays. This Tuesday announced.
Yeah, great.
With his own version of a great get. He got the Hezbollah leader. Hassan.
Yeah, he's got a great. I mean, I'm sure his booking is going to be great, but the guy is so boring. He talks slow and he doesn't really know. He's not interesting. How's he going to make the. Okay, I'll listen to it.
Well, I mean, Larry King, was he interesting? I guess. I mean, people liked him. But you ever see
Albuquerque, go ahead.
You ever see the Saturday Night Live skits with Julian Assange?
No.
Oh, it's great. You know, the guy's there with his white hair. Hello, Julian Assange. And he's like, you know, monotone with his deep voice. Just, you know?
Bad.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's a crap headline for you. A double crap headline. This was on the front page of Barron's today, and it said, the drug developer Targacept is down 82% from its 52-week high. A little blip, we'll call it, okay? But one analyst says the stock could skyrocket. First of all, is this like somebody's brother-in-law that owns the stock? I mean, seriously, what kind of crap on the front page of Barron's is that? Is this what journalism has gotten to?
Yeah. Yeah, touts.
Touts. Targacept down 82%. Do you think there's a reason that any stock is down 82% from its high?
Yeah.
In a 52-week period? Probably. Exactly. But one analyst, probably the only analyst that covers it, probably the only analyst that's involved with it, probably the analyst who's also the touter of this deal, somehow sells a story to Barron's, and they put it on the front page of the online version. I kind of lost a little respect for them on that.
Hmm.
No?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen worse.
You know, the stock's going to move up. It's going to move up.
Oh, yeah. If you had a blip, that'll give somebody the opportunity to get the hell out of it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anyway, IMF put a better outlook on the table for the global markets. That's one of the reasons that markets really rallied today out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, talking about that, did you hear the Soros speech that's going around the net?
He was pretty negative, wasn't he?
You heard the speech.
I read parts of it.
Oh,
you have to hear
the whole thing. You hear, he's just, and he's also, he keeps mispronouncing words. And they would do worse and better, they will. So anyway, it was essentially predicting the doom of the EU.
Which only leads me to believe that he's short the euro. No, I mean, that's what he does. He goes after stuff and then just bangs the crap out of it.
Well, it works.
Well, you have the European region today, which the German confidence poll, the ZEW survey, ZEW, was out today with a better confidence than expected, first of all. Second of all, the Spanish short-term bond auction that went off today went off better than expected. Now, let's back that up for a second. There's also comments today all over the place that these regions, these countries, that would do anything that it takes to keep the euro intact. Well, they have to say that, of course. But what happens is that the ECB, the Central Bank of Europe, said they're not buying bonds in the open market. They're just not doing it. They're not buying the sovereign debt in the open market. Well, that lasted for a short period, and they started buying bonds in the open market. Last week, Spain said, hey, guys, whoa, hey, our yields are popping. We're over 6% now on our 10-year bond. The ECB needs to come in, step in, and stabilize the situation by buying the bonds and pushing the rates down because we can't afford to pay these rates. Meanwhile, today there's an auction, and wouldn't you know it, there's a better auction. Why? Well, because the ECB pumped all this money in the banks with the wink saying you will buy the sovereign debt of these countries. That's what you're going to use some of this money for, and that's going to stabilize the region. So the banks went in and bought the crap out of the bonds.
Well, that would do it, because I thought they were trying to sink Spain because of this Argentinian thing, you know, that just came up, which is the
with Repsol,
yeah,
they took over.
We're taking you over. That's not good.
Spain's pissed off.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is that now basically what has happened is that the ECB, the government, has put the money into the banks. The banks are now buying the sovereign debt. If the sovereigns have problems, the banks have problems. The banks have problems, the sovereign have problems. You just levered up your deal. And on top of that, if anything fails, it's on the taxpayer's plate now.
Well, really, that's kind of the way it's always going to go.
Yeah, nice gamble. I like it.
Huh.
Yeah.
We'll have to look
now, in the same thing, there was also news from Japan. Japan said, you know what? We have so much debt. It's enormous. It's the largest debt out there. Just an amazing amount of debt because we've been doing quantitative easing for the last 25 years with no luck, which is why, of course, the U.S. followed the same route because we saw what good it did them. And they're spending so much money on their own debt, they said, you know what? It's not enough that we're spending money here. We're going to pledge $60 billion to the IMF so you can help out the European zone.
Yeah.
$60 billion. Now, the IMF says after that, today they come out with this unbelievable announcement. Hey, we're increasing the global GDP by 0.1, 0.2. And everybody's all up in arms and happy about it. So that's kind of what happened today. Another thing I want to mention, I want to come back to. Seagate.
Yes.
This is what I was mentioning earlier about the massaging of estimates.
Yeah.
So about 2 weeks ago. Or so I put a chart there. Pull up that chart.
I don't see which chart it is.
It's the last one. STX.jpg.
Ah, STX. It used to be SGAT.
Yeah. All right. So Seagate right there. See that little notch I put on there for a 10% intraday drop?
Yeah.
That was what, the 8th or 9th or maybe the 7th or so of 7th of April. We're talking about 10 days ago. 10 whole days ago. Seagate comes out and says, there's a couple of different times. Well, there's then and there was another time. Hey, you know, we think the next quarter is going to be soft. They're guiding lower. Stock drops. Gaps down. It's ugly. Okay. Fast forward to today. They put out earnings. They blow the crap out of earnings. 54% ahead of earnings. That's enormous. And the stock is up 2.5%. Overnight, you know, in the nighttime, we'll see what happens. 54 cents higher. How do they come out and say they're going to guide, they guide lower, and then come out with this major announcement that they just the numbers were off the chart compared to expectations? I mean, like, if they were going to make 30 cents, they made 84.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's, it looks a little sketchy.
Well, that's more than the 2 cents we're talking about. So anyway, that's what's going on. We're talking last
What do you think about this? I mean, do you think it's a stock that's – you think they're trying to manipulate the price of the stock? They're trying to get out maybe, and they're cooking the books? I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we've had a lot of interesting situations with Seagate. First was the whole issue of, oh, my God, it's going to be awful. The whole Thailand floods are going to slow down production and all that. All that did was benefit them. They raised prices incredibly on hard drives, and production came back to keep the prices up.
Yeah. That was a pretty cool move.
Yeah, good, really good move. Okay,
because they're always trailing prices, but they had their excuse to push up the curve forward instead of backwards, and they ended up being they're looking good. I think this is a good thing.
Yeah. So then they have this situation happen. We have the guiding low. You see that?
How about the guiding low so they can get in cheaper?
Maybe. I don't know. It's possible. Who knows? You know, I mean, to try to figure out what these companies do is impossible these days. You know, they say one thing, they go the other way. It's you know, I guess everybody believes if the government can do it, we can do it too.
Well, they can.
Yeah. So today we had this big rally out of nowhere. Futures were actually underwater by about 5 points on the S&P, and then they just broke higher with the news of the German numbers, and then, you know, cascaded higher with the Japanese putting $60 billion in, and then moved even higher when the IMF came out, and then he had some earnings, although economics was soft, but the volume was not there. Not that that's the only thing that matters, but you know, the last couple of days, the big boys, the names that have been really solid, have been getting hit and whacked around. So somebody's been selling. I would not be too surprised if over the next several days we start going back into the downtrend again.
Well, I don't like the looks of the Dow chart.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's moving weight in too many large strides.
Not only that, but it's got a kind of a – just looks funny. Hmm. Anyway, so let's take a look at our stocks.
Now, I'll share something with you. You got stopped out last week, you know, about on Hop Hog Digital. About 3 days
Hopage?
Before – Yep, it went up 37% about 3 days later.
Oh. Well, that stinks.
Yep.
Where's that's it now? What happens. Let's take a look. The rules we yep. play by, we're stuck with.
Yeah, and we don't cheat like them damn companies.
And we're not trying to. We're trying to catch momentum as opposed to get lucky.
Right.
I think that's the way we play this game. I mean, that's things are going up and going up. You got to get the momentum going. You got to be on a momentum play, or otherwise you're going to get stopped out in these little blips.
Yep, exactly. And you get stopped out anyway. A few of the stocks that we have got stopped out because, you know, for example, Acorn. Acorn was up. It was doing its thing. And then the last several days, it just got, you know, smoked for no reason. So, you know, you held on to some of the gain, a 7% gain round number, even though it was up, you know, $12.50 or maybe even $13 recently. But Crocs was stopped out too, even though they came out with this brand new. We like it. They were 5.5%. They were up today. Or 5% today, you know, and breaking out above a very important point, actually. And, you know, the new shoe line they have, the new Wave Seekers.
Brother.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else do we got here? So a lot of things stopped out. We'll move them down. Of course, any of these things can be looked at in real time live over at the Google Docs. It's on the DH Unplugged website. Just go there, click on the weekly stocks spreadsheet. And you can see this at any given time, what we talk about, things that have stopped out, the current pricing, what we, you know, suggested that could be an interesting play. None of these are recommendations to buy or sell any security, and use your discretion and use your smarts to find good advice in order to implement anything. But we are not suggesting anything to be bought or sold here. It is just a little game we play. Make sure you understand that, because stocks do carry a lot of risk. I will mention I am going short something this week.
I'm looking at the list, and I'm going, oh, this is funny. You got a lot of guts.
You think so?
You know, I don't like the company, generally speaking, because they have their fingers in too many weird pies, and they have connections. And, you know, this stock, it's due to drop under 100, but I wouldn't do it.
Well,
We're talking about Goldman.
Yep, Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs numbers came in, and they were, I thought, kind of disappointing. You know, they really lost their edge, and it could be a lot of different reasons why that is. They're now third in fixed income behind a couple of the major companies, and they were always the number one player in that area. I think a lot of companies are shunning them. You know, look what happened with Facebook and a few of the other IPOs out there. And, you know, it's just a kind of a situation that maybe their time is due. Although, you know, in the end, Goldman will win. Let's just get that straight.
Right? Yeah, they've been around forever, and they...
They find a way to win.
That's what they do.
Yep, that's what they... Even when they lose, they win.
Often.
Yep. So I am saying that at this point, actually, it's the exact price of a breakdown potential that I, you know, that we see on our charts is 116.50. So we're very close to that. So really right in there. We actually shorted this yesterday and added to today. And it's we shorted right about this price, 117s. You know, you look at this and if the markets do take a little bit of a beating, if in fact the European situation does start to get a little bit turbulent again, this could be one of the positions that gets sold off, and in particular because it was so weak after earnings. So we'll see. I mean, there's a channel down to about 108, so that's, you know, $8 is about 7%, or 6.5-7% on the downside, and then from below that, after that support zone, you said it's down to about 100. So, you know, we're looking for about 108 if we're really trading this to see if we can move it to there. About 119.5 is the stop that we would kind of look for, or at least in real life, looking at that level. So, earnings disappoint is the tagline there. Hmm. Any stocks by you? You're gonna.
I'm gonna go with that one you mentioned earlier. I think we just put it on the list.
Talking about Brave. OP. You're going long.
Yeah. OP. I'm going long with the boss. The boss must know something. Yeah. I hope he's not like one of those idiots that just throws good money after bad. Oh, I think it's too low. I think I'll just invest. That happens, you know.
Or that he's not taking that quote unquote medicine to stop the nausea. dude, buy some more of that stuff, man. And the guys. And they mistook it for the stock.
Yeah, it's possible.
OPK. Work in the boss.
Yeah, it worked with the other boss I worked.
Yeah. Oh, he's the best.
Icon.
Paul Icon. Yeah, 27%.
That's way up.
That's a wiener. It's a big wiener.
You're the only one that's beat me on the whole list here with that 35% monster beverage call. That was a beauty.
Yeah. That one's still cranking.
Still going.
It's amazing. Amazing that people will what they'll put in their bodies. Those whatever's in those drinks, caffeine and all sorts of other stuff.
Yeah. Who knows?
All right, so we're going to clean up the list next week, and we'll have a lot of things kind of move down. Lots of earnings coming out, lots and lots. We have a whole earnings list I put on thedisciplinedinvestor.com and over on Trigger Point Research. All the different the new. Did you get that report I sent today?
No, I didn't see it. Oh yeah, I did. I saw it. Right, I didn't open it.
Yeah, you should open that. That's the new reports that we're doing for pre-earnings to give you an idea of where a company needs to hit and what will happen to the stock if they miss or if they surprise to the upside.
Sounds good.
The exact levels, all the numbers, all the statistics, everything. So I sent that over to you, and we have those up on the various sites. So that's the story.
Sounds like a winner. All right. We'll talk again next Tuesday, hopefully. Maybe the market will do something interesting. But I'm not seeing any evidence of that.
What would be interesting? Like a 10% drop or 10% rise?
Yeah. Either one.
Something just out of the ordinary. A flash crash like Mexico had last week.
Yeah.
Mexico had a nice little flash crash.
Yeah. I think with all the computers running things here, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. I hear you. All right. Well, I'll see you next week. I look forward to it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.